Like, if he's already paying like $60 to get his family and him into the zoo, he's like, oh, that's $15 too much.
15 extra dollars.
I wanted to spend. So he's like, gotta go. He's like, all right, honey, just pay for the kids. Take the $45, pay, and I'll go into the tiger enclosure. I'll get through.
And meet you on the other side. Hello and welcome to the Time Bat Show. I am Bat Snacks.
And I'm Time Asus.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Do you know what episode number it is today?
I do. We talked about this right before we began. It's a very exciting,
very special episode.
Milestone.
It's episode 20. We've hit 20, the 20s. We're a fifth of the way to the 100s. You know?
That's pretty close. You could say we're a 20th of the way to the triple digits.
You could say we're 20% to the triple digits, yeah.
On episode 20.
I am impressed we've gotten this far. I don't know about you.
Yes.
I'm excited about episode 20. I think this is going to be a good episode. Another note, real quick, it's Groundhog Day today.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I just know it is. I don't know what happened with the groundhog, but it is Groundhog Day. So.
Oh, darn. I wish we had the results of that to report on.
Like right now.
Anyway,
Groundhog Day. I can find Day them out while you talk about something really quick.
Do it. Okay. Groundhog Day with Bill Murray is a really good movie.
It is.
And
it is
a really
good movie.
In which he must relive the same day over and over again.
Yeah. I think I'll probably watch Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I should
tonight,
after this
maybe.
Show.
Yeah.
And, you know, so should everyone else. If you haven't seen Groundhog Day in a while, this is a perfect occasion
really
to watch
great
it.
Movie. Okay, so Punxsutawney Phil emerged from his burrow.
Wait, what's his name?
Punxsutawney Phil, that's the groundhog. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh my god, I'm getting a really loud advertisement. Punxsutawney Phil's groundhog emerged from his burrow at Gobbler's Knob.
That's not what it's called.
Yes.
Wait, no. Say that one more time.
Where? I forgot that how funny the names were surrounding Groundhog Day. All right. So.
No, wait.
Hold on. It's in Pennsylvania, and the most famous groundhog, Punxsutawney Phil, that's his name.
Okay.
Emerged from his burrow at Gobbler's Knob, Pennsylvania. Gobbler's Knob. Anyway, so he saw his shadow, which according to legend means 6 more weeks of winter.
I'm okay with that. It's been pretty warm here.
So yeah, Punxsutawney Phil, and there's a picture of him. He's being a groundhog.
In Gobbler's Knob.
Gobbler's Knob. Apparently, there's another groundhog in Georgia called General Beauregard Lee. I like that name. He did not see his shadow, so he's predicting an early spring. So Punxsutawney Phil and Beauregard Lee are currently at odds with each other right now. But, you know, that's you know, they probably have a feud, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So, Groundhog Day, that has been your Groundhog Day update at the Time Bat Show. We'll do this every Groundhog's Day, so keep it here for the latest Groundhog's Day news. All right, so you had a story you wanted to share out of the get-go.
Yeah, there was something that happened this week, and it probably happened to a lot of people. I hope it didn't just happen to me, but I have the Twitter app installed on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and... recently, mm-hmm. it has started sending me notifications when things that are not even related to me happen. For example, this past week, it alerted me
mm-hmm.
that Beyonce was going to have twins.
Like it just told you that?
No, my phone made a noise, it vibrated. and I picked it up. I was thinking that someone texted me or
tweeted me or something.
It's like, but no,
breaking. Beyonce's having
twins. Beyonce has announced that she's going to have twins.
That actually did not happen to me. I sometimes get notifications, but they're always to do with stuff that I follow. Like, I'll occasionally get, like, a notification that, like, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah retweeted this tweet or something. But I've never got a notification of
Beyonce. Yeah, I get those too, but
having twins or any, like, celebrity news story.
Twitter has been giving me... It did the exact same thing when Mary Tyler Moore died.
Really?
I just got a notification out of the blue that...
Mary Tyler Moore is dead.
Has, like, passed away.
Thanks, Twitter.
And I was like,
thanks a lot, wow. Twitter. So, what do you have for your Beyonce news settings on Twitter?
I'm not following Beyonce or anyone. I mean, I'm following Lady Gaga, but...
But in your settings, you know, the Beyonce filter, do you have that on or off?
I don't know about the Beyonce filter.
I'm just kidding.
I know,
that'd be pretty funny if there was, though. Like, you could just turn it on or off and you just get all the latest Beyonce news. Maybe it's because you follow Lady Gaga.
They're not the same person, though.
I am aware of that, but, like, if Lady Gaga retweeted something that said Beyonce's having twins, and then
it
someone...
It didn't say that, though. It was just Beyonce has announced
that
she's
literally
having twins.
Just had the
Yeah,
statement.
No, this did not come from Gaga. Weird. This was from Twitter.
That's really weird. It's like they want you to know. Maybe the certain people that you follow, like, it algorithmically decides that you would be interested in Beyonce having twins.
Mary Tyler Moore, though?
I don't know. That's really weird, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I mean, I was pleased and angry about it at the same time because, for one, I guess that's kind of cool that Beyonce's having twins, I guess. Like,
sure, I guess so.
Yeah. Like, I'm not unhappy to know that, but I'm very unhappy that Twitter has just
decided that you
barged into my life and made my phone do things.
Like, stop what you're doing. You need to know that Beyonce's having twins right now.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you were, like, in an interview or, like, at a movie or, like, I don't know, doing something important and your phone buzzes. And, you know, you have that, like, moment of panic, like, oh, this might be really important, you know.
Yeah, like, I need to walk out and get this.
I need
it
to
might
check
be my mom
this.
Or, yeah.
I don't have a lot of people, you know, I don't get texts most of the time, so this could be important. And you
right.
walk outside and you check it, and it says,
Beyonce's having
twins! And you're like, great. And then you go back into the interview, and they're like, sorry, we're going to have to pass on you or something.
Yeah,
and you're like,
really
Beyonce!
It really makes me think, too, because... Of all things for it to tell me, of all the things happening in the world, like, it chose this.
Yeah, like, there's been some weird, you know, politics going on.
Yeah, some, there have been important things happening in the world.
Things happening in the world right now. I have to say, as a human, there's a lot of important stuff going on right now. I'm not going to discredit how important Beyonce's twins are, but, like, in relation to everything else going on, like, it is a weird thing to pick, you know?
Yeah.
It is weird to be like, oh, there's other news stories, you don't care. But Beyonce having twins, that's the news story you care
Stop
about.
Stop what you're doing right now, everybody in the world.
Read about Beyonce having twins. Their names are going to be Geraldine and... I was about to say Beyonce Jr., but that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and I mean, with my brain, the first thing I assumed was that it was some kind of weird advertising thing that... Some, yeah. like, advertising conspiracy where they're trying to get you to open Twitter and look at Beyonce tweets.
As they tend to do.
Yeah.
What would Beyonce's twins' names be? I said Geraldine and Beyonce Jr., but that doesn't really make a lot of sense. What's the junior equivalent for women? Is there a junior equivalent? Or no? You know what I mean?
I don't think there is.
Isn't that weird that there's no junior equivalent? Like, if a woman was named, like, Emily, and she named her daughter Emily, like, you can't call her Emily Junior. I mean, I guess you could, but, like, I don't know. That's...
There's
no women's version of that.
I think this is, like, kind of an old Southern thing, but sometimes they would combine the mother and the grandmother's name. Like, if the mother was Joe and the grandmother was Beth, it'll be Joe Beth.
So that's
the kid's
like the
name.
Daughter.
Yeah.
That's like the granddaughter or whatever.
Yeah, but that's not like Junior.
No, that's weird.
You don't get a special number next to your name. No. Like Richard the Fourth.
Yeah, like that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah.
Like if Emily, and then Emily, you know, the next Emily, and then another Emily, like if like a male's version is like John 1, John 2, John 3, John 4, but like you could have like a bunch of Emily's or whatever, and they're not yeah, like
you're,
2, 3,
you're still
4.
Just Emily.
That doesn't seem... I feel like there should be an equivalent. Whatever. Anyway, so sorry about Beyonce and the Twitter thing.
That's okay.
Maybe you should tweet at Twitter and be like, why are you sending me all these Beyonce things? I hope that they start sending you like every single Beyonce story now.
That would be so weird.
Like every couple days, they're like, Beyonce seen at a 7-Eleven in Fresno or something, right?
That would be such a good way to mess with someone like
buying taquitos.
Start sending them Beyonce things.
Like the most trivial stuff. Like the stuff they put in like Star Magazine or whatever, you know? Or
yeah,
Us
it's
Weekly.
Like, the cover of Star Magazine.
Like Beyonce seen, you know, at the park with her cousin Margaret or something, and like nothing happened there or whatever.
But you've like, got an alert from Twitter. Brad wins custody.
Exactly. Yes. And so it gets to other celebrities too.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you would get all those too. Brad now dating, I don't know who he's dating.
Johnny Depp.
Brad and Johnny. And
I wouldn't be that surprised.
And their beach getaway or something like that.
Yeah.
Click here for the photos. And like every couple days you get that stuff. Are you sure you're not following like one of those star like magazines?
I'm certain, yeah. The most pop culture thing that I follow is Lady Gaga.
I don't know. I don't know how to help you there. Oh, well. Are you ready for some great animal-related news stories?
Yeah, let's get into some news.
You had a really good one you wanted to share before I did, I think.
Let's start with yours.
Okay. I'll start with, like, kind of a classic.
Yeah.
Animals where they don't belong kind of thing. You know,
yeah.
We know them, we love them, you know. So this week in Idaho, someone found a moose in their basement. It's actually a really nice basement, I have to say. And a moose got in somehow. They apparently have a very large screen, large window that opens like a door, and the latch was loose. And I guess a moose just kind of...
So it's not an underground basement.
Oh, it's an underground basement. I think it's like one of those exposed, like partially underground basement.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
There's like small windows on the bottom.
Yes. And a moose got in somehow.
Okay,
so it's if it a is 3 foot those... deep window well is what it says. What were you gonna
yeah,
say?
Yeah, that sounds like one of those half submerged.
Yeah.
But if it is that, that means that there's a big ledge now, and the moose cannot get out the same way it got in.
Correct. No, that is exactly right. It sounds like the moose quote pushed her way through, and amazingly enough, the window didn't break, and now she's in the basement. And so now there's no a way to get her out except for taking her out of
the basement.
The base, like leading her through the house.
Through the kitchen. Into the dining room.
So anyway, they started to try to like herd her up the steps. But it didn't work because she charged police officers. and so apparently they sedated the moose and she passed out, and then the officers carried her outside where she eventually woke up and, you know, moosed her way away. So
yeah, that would be really scary. Mooses are extremely big, scary. They have weapons on their head.
The scariest part is, like, there's a picture of the moose in the basement, and it looks like it was taken by the owner of the house, but the scary part is, like, it's just looking directly at the person taking the picture. Like, as if, like, the person stopped what they're doing, and instead of, like, running away or closing the door, they're just like, let me get it quick. a quick snap of the moose, like fully engaged in like moose mode, if you know what I mean.
Looking straight ahead.
Like at any moment, it could like charge the person taking the picture. Like if I found a moose in my basement, I would just leave the basement, like lock the basement door, and then
leave the house.
Call animal control and leave the house. But I don't know, someone was courageous enough to be like, need to get a picture of this for Instagram.
You know what? They were probably standing at the top of the stairs like, here, moose, yeah, I need probably to get your picture.
Yeah, like, get behind that thing so we can have a good shot. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do if I found a moose in my basement. That's a weird one, because it's a big animal. And, yeah, it'd be hard to get out. Anyway, so moose in basement. Only in America. Home of the free, you know.
There might be one in Canada.
Land of the brave. There's probably a moose in Canada in people's basements. All right, what did you get?
Okay, so I don't know if it was this week or last week, but very recently in China, a visitor to a zoo was mauled to death by a tiger.
Oh, this is a very nice story you brought us today.
And the circumstances surrounding this mauling are a man goes to the zoo with his family.
Okay.
And it's $15 to get into the zoo. But the man doesn't want to pay the $15.
Okay.
So he devises a plan.
Oh, God.
His plan is that he will scale the wall to the zoo, traverse the tiger enclosure.
What happens to his family, though, in this scenario?
I don't know what he was thinking.
Because he's with his family, right?
I think he was going to, like, let him in somehow once he got to the other side.
He's going
to
let him in. Like, let me just latch the door open and you can come in. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So the man slipped and fell and the tigers ate him slowly.
Yeah.
As onlookers watched and took videos and pictures.
God. Poor guy. Well, I mean, I feel bad for him because he obviously is dead.
Yes.
But that wasn't the brightest thing to do in the history of decision making.
Yes, it says that he was there for a while, like screaming on the ground.
Did nobody try to like help him? Don't they have like animal control? They could like.
Well, they got there as fast as possible, but they're tigers. Like,
couldn't they like tranquilize the tigers or whatever? Or no,
I don't think they have those on standby.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know what you expect for like. So his intention was to be in the tiger enclosure.
I think. You would see the tigers, right? There were, like, five in the enclosure.
Yeah, so he was gonna, like, let me paint a picture here and tell me if this is right. So he, like, jumped over the fence into the zoo, but right where he did was where the tigers are, right?
Yes.
And he probably was gonna try to, like, shimmy on some rocks or something.
Yeah, to, like across a wall.
Across a wall or something to get to the other side where people are. But he slipped and fell into the enclosure. Right? That's what it sounds like.
And the tiger pounced.
Right. Ugh, man. Like, I would like to know, this is morbid, but I would like to know what his full plan was. You know what I mean? Like, if things went swimmingly, and he gets past the tiger enclosure, like, what next? Does he, like, call to his children and like, alright, do the same thing that I just
do what
did.
I did.
Like, what do you do then, you know? Like, did you see those moves? All right, just do that. We'll get to be in the zoo now. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, what was his big plan?
His plan obviously sucked because he died because he got mauled by tigers.
It was a terrible plan.
Like, you could not pay me even, like, $500 to run through a tiger enclosure.
No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't. Yeah, I would never, ever do that.
But doing that to save $15 is...
It was only $15?
$15.
If it was, like, $500, I would... It's still stupid, but I would, like, be more understanding. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I could see why someone might do that. They think, oh, it's easy. It's just 2 minutes, and I make $500.
So this guy was, like, him. This is him and his family, right?
Or was it just said him? It said he had a family there.
Yeah.
Because they're the one that took the video.
So this whole thing doesn't This whole thing doesn't make sense, though, because he's trying to save $15, but, you know, ostensibly, like, his family's, like, you know, three or four people. So, you know, $15 times 20, it's, you know, or times four, it's, like, you know, it's $60 or so. You know, like, that's...
Maybe he just, he wanted to save the money on his ticket.
See, that's even worse, though. Like, if he's already paid, like, $60 to get his family and him into the zoo, he's like, oh, that's $15 too much.
15 extra dollars.
I wanted to spend. So he's like, gotta go. He's like, all right, honey, just pay for the kids. Take the $45, pay, and I'll go into the tiger enclosure. I'll get through.
It's meet fine. You on the other side.
I'll meet you over there. It's fine. Like, that's even worse. Like, if he was willing to pay for his children, but not his own, like, I don't know. That's, like, weird. Like, he has, like, him, his wife, and two kids, let's say. It's, like, $60. And, like, oh, I thought it would be $45, honey. Damn, that's too expensive. It's, like, Rich, just pay the man. Like, it's fine. He's, like, no, I didn't want to spend more than $45 at the zoo. You take the kids and get in there, and I'm going to find a way. I'll meet you over there.
Yeah, and... Like, there's obviously going to be people watching, too. Like, people will see him do what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, a security guy, it would be super obvious. Like, someone would be like, who's that man in the lion enclosure? And a security guard would be like, okay, we got a situation. We got another one here. I wonder how often something like this happens. This is in China, you said?
Yeah.
You remember what city it was in?
I closed the window.
That's fine. I don't know. That's some desperate measures. I don't think I've ever wanted to be in a zoo that bad in my life.
I've never wanted... I mean, it just boils down to $15 to cross a tiger enclosure.
I've never wanted that.
I've never wanted $15 that bad.
Well, I've never wanted to be in a zoo that bad either. It wasn't just $15. Because if it was if the real problem was like, oh, $15 is too expensive, he would just leave. You know what I mean? Like, any sane person that's at a zoo and is like, oh, $15 to get in, that's a little expensive. I'm not doing great financially, so I'm just going to go. But he was like, no. I came to the zoo. I spent all this gas money to get to the zoo. And I'm getting in this damn zoo if my life depends on it. And look, it ended up doing that. Exactly. So it's not even about the $15. It's that he really, really, really wanted to be in the zoo. And he also really, really, really did not want to spend $15.
To get into the zoo.
Like, those were his two. If you could boil this man's life down to two, like, mottos, it's A, I must be in the zoo. And it's B, I will never pay $15 to get into a zoo. But I must be there. Like, that's his life. That's his philosophy.
It's a really sort of an interesting and unique life.
It is. Like, if those are the two most important things to you, like, your life is, like, living is lower than those two things. Like, my priorities, in order, being at the zoo, not spending $15, and C, you know, in a distant third, is living.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like we're making fun of this deceased man.
Oh, he deserves it.
But I don't know if he deserves it, but, well, you know. He didn't make a very good decision.
No, he made a bad choice.
All right, my next animal news story, we have a lot of animal news. I feel like that's, like, where, like, good radio goes to die. Like, when we start doing a bunch of animal news, it just means, like, we're, you know, we're, like, getting in that, like, morning radio kind of...
Yeah.
Kind of bit. But whatever, I don't care. You know, if people listen to us, it doesn't really matter. So I have another one that's, like, horrifying, but not in the same way as a tiger eating a man.
Yeah, no one got mauled.
No one got mauled, but it's weird. So an Oregon woman found herself in an emergency room last week after... Okay, I'm going to just kind of paint a picture of the circumstances and see if you can guess what happened, okay?
Okay.
So this woman I would describe as someone that has a lot of tattoos and piercings.
You know, okay.
That's a lifestyle. That's fine, obviously. but she has a large ear. What do they call those? Gauge.
The circle ornaments.
Yeah, the gauged earlobe thing. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I think I did that a little while ago in like college or something. But anyway, so you got the gauge thing. So you got like a big hole in your ear, right?
Yes.
And she also has a pet, ball python.
Okay.
Did you know where this is going yet?
Sigh. Why?
And so she wakes up one day.
Oh, she didn't do it intentionally.
No, okay. No. She did not. She wakes up one day and...
The snake's in her ear.
It's in her earlobe. Yeah. And it can't get out.
So she has to go. So it's just like wiggling around.
Yep. It's trying to get free and it's in her earlobe.
Can you imagine waking up to that?
I cannot. No.
Just waking up to a snake wiggling next to you is really scary, but you can't detach the snake from you because it's in your ear.
Well, you could if you like permanently damaged your ear.
No,
ripped it out. So anyway, she had to go to the emergency room.
Oh,
surprise,
man.
Surprise. And
I wish I could be the doctor that saw her when she walked in.
Me too. Like, well, what happened here? And then he's like, oh, another one of these again or whatever. Oh, anyway, there's a picture and it's pretty frightening. The snake is just kind of chilling in her earlobe. It kind of looks like a really big, weird earring, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and it's not a small ball python. It's not a full-grown one, but, like, it's probably, like, a few years old, you know? Like, it's big enough that, like, it would be a heavy earring to to wear around your ear, if you will. You know what I mean? So, anyway, yeah, she went to the emergency room, and they numbed it, applied lube to the earlobe, and they got the thing out.
Pulled it out.
Oh, and the snake's name's Bart for some reason.
Bart.
Thought you should know that.
Yeah, so I'll never own a snake.
You should look up pictures. They're good. They're real good. You'll never own a snake? Really? Why not?
Yeah, I read all the time about them escaping, and...
They're cool, though.
I mean, they're cool, but they...
Did I ever share my ball python story with you?
Oh, no, please share. I didn't know
you
had
one. What were you going to say, though? You were about
I mean, I've... My cousin used to have one, and I've known people that have had them, and
yeah,
they're cool for a while, but you have to feed them, and they kind of smell bad, and
are you talking specifically about pythons, or just snakes in general?
I mean, that's sort of the only snake you would...
No, I mean, there are other snakes you can own, but yeah, ball python's probably the most
popular. That's kind of like the pet snake.
They're not venomous.
Yeah.
There are other snakes you can own, like king snake and gardener snake and a few others. But
if you're a snake man, you can have a rattlesnake.
Yeah, like if you're that's a good description, snake man.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people have ball python. But anyway, I had a ball python. Well, my brother had a ball python growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And he got one when he was, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something else, you know, 14, 15, whatever.
Yeah.
And we, there's a couple good stories with this ball python, because they are, like, the escape artists of the
yes.
animal kingdom. Like, it's insane how good they are at it. So, we lived in Georgia for a while,
mm-hmm.
and we got the snake there, and then we moved back to Florida. I don't know if you remember, but I moved back to Florida. Like, at, like, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
And we rented a condo for a little while because the house that my parents bought wasn't, like, ready yet.
Right.
For us to move into. So we had to stay in a condo for, like, a month or two that we rented. So we had the ball python here at the condo in this little glass cage. And the thing you're supposed to do with ball pythons is increase the size of their enclosure every, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. I don't remember exactly when. But as they grow, you're supposed to, you know, upgrade so they
right.
don't escape. And I guess we were putting it off or whatever because the day before we were supposed to move out of the condo, the snake just escaped. And we had no idea where it was. And we were literally about to move out the day later, so the next tenant might, like, find a snake somewhere.
The snake's just gone.
Yeah, somewhere in this apartment. But we could not find it anywhere. So we're, like, panickingly searching for it for, like, a whole day while we're moving all our stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then we do not see it at all. And we just, like, give up. And we're like, well, I guess it's the next person's problem. Because, like, we just literally could not find it.
Did you have to sleep while the snake was missing?
Yes. Yeah, we did. Sleep overnight.
Yikes.
It wasn't big enough to, like, kill you or anything yet.
But still, there's a snake loose.
So, anyway, so, like, the next day, we all, like, take the, you know, U-Haul or whatever to our house and move out of the condo. And, like, my dad or my mom, I don't remember who, goes back to the condo to, like, pick up a couple of the things and, like, you know, leave the key or whatever. And finds a snake, no lie, like, coiled up inside the sink drain. Like, in the drain. Like, the only reason she found it is because she turned the water on to make sure the water was still on because we had to turn it off. And the snake, like, slithered out of the drain when she did that. Like, true story. And, like, that's how we found the snake again. I think his name was Vincent. But anyway, yeah, those things are insane. Like, they'll escape anything, and they can hide, like, no tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, like, a couple years later, we had this, you know, same snake. We were in our house in Jacksonville, which, you know, you've been to dozens and dozens of times. So the snake was, it was growing a lot, so we got a bigger closure for it. But I think, like, the one we got was, like, a weird, like it didn't have, a strong latch or whatever. So we kept having to put, like, books on top of it. Like, heavier and heavier books because the snake kept trying to, like, poke its head out of the top of the top of the enclosure. Like, it was strong enough to, like, push it over the push it out of the latch and, like...
Yeah, they're smart. They know how to get out.
Yeah, they're really smart. So we'd have to put, like, books, like, heavy books on top of it to prevent the snake from doing it. One day, it just figured out that, like, it could push the books off because we came over and the books had fallen off the thing somehow. I guess it just became strong enough to, like, get out, and we never saw it ever again. Yeah, long
that
pause, because you don't know
scary.
What to do. Yeah, and never, and my parents have lived in that house, you know, 10 years since after that, and they never saw the snake ever again.
Those things live a long time. You could have a 4-foot python under your house.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Have any pets gone missing
no.
in your mom's neighborhood?
I mean, maybe. But this happens, like, all the time with ball pythons.
Yeah,
like,
they're an invasive species in Florida.
They are. They're all over the place. And, like, had I known that, I was obviously a kid, and had my parents known that, we probably wouldn't have got one. Because, like, they're cool pets, but, like, a lot of them escape. Like, a large percentage of them escape. And they, like, just go crazy in the neighborhood, and they'll, like, you know, they'll, like, eat pets, and they'll, like, cause problems, and they'll just... do whatever they want because they're ball pythons, you know? So, I don't know. I warn you, if you're going to get a ball python, be ready for the whole thing. You know,
get
ball
a really good cage.
I would compare it to, like, you know, like when you get a puppy, you're like, oh, I love this puppy, so cute. And then when it becomes like an older dog, some people are like, oh, I don't like this dog now that's like fully grown. Like, I'm not that kind of person. I love dogs of all ages. But some people do that. You know, they grow disenchanted with the dog.
Yeah.
Ball python does that too, but it takes a lot longer because it takes a long time for them to get full grown. So you can have them for like 3 or 4 years and they'll be like a small, manageable snake. And then like 5 or 6 years later, they'll be like gigantic and you'll be like, I don't know how to take care of this thing anymore, you know, because you weren't ready for it to be giant. You know what
you
I mean?
You have to feed it and, live rabbits.
Yeah, and then like it sneaks out of the cage in the middle of the night and it's gone forever, you know, tearing up your neighborhood, you know. So like that's what happens with the ball python. And yeah, you have to feed it rats. And that was always a thing that I could never watch as a kid.
But. Yeah, and they kind of just hang out for a while with the rat like halfway in their mouth. And the tail is still like moving. And...
Sometimes it seems like they're like taunting the rat. You know?
Like their mouth is twice the size of their body.
It
and
is.
They just have a rat in it.
And, like, oh, it's just so sad.
Yeah.
And, like, sometimes, like, you'll put the rat in there, and it won't, like, you'd think it'd be like, oh, it, like, instantly pounds on the rat. But, like, no. Sometimes it takes, like, 5 minutes for the snake to be like, all right, I'll eat it now.
Yeah. It knows, like, the rat isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, it, like, it knows that the rat can't escape, you know? And, like, yeah. It'll just be like, yeah, I'll figure it out when I'm in the mood. And then it'll just get, it's like, don't do that. Just get it over with quickly. And meanwhile, the rat must be, like, freaking out, you know, having a panic attack or something.
Yeah.
Like, so, I don't know. It's just, it just feels wrong. You know what I mean? And you buy the rats at the pet store, like, for the purpose of feeding to the snakes.
Yes.
And that feels really wrong, right?
Yes.
Because, like, you're going in the pet store, and they're like, how can I help you? And you're like, I need a rat to feed my... Or maybe it's a mouse. I don't remember. It's one of them. You know what I mean? It's a rat or... I think it's a mouse. I think you start with a mouse, and you may be able to work up with rats. But I don't know. You get these little bitty mice, and you buy them at the pet store, and then you feed them to the snake. And it's just like... I don't know. Like, something feels wrong about buying a pet at the pet store and then throwing it into your snake cage for it to eat.
Yeah, I mean, people can say that that's the circle of life or whatever, but it's not really, is
it? I mean, it is,
that's not how life works.
Yeah, like, someone doesn't go to the snakes, the pet store, and grab rat.
Yeah, I mean, in the wild, the snake doesn't just, you know, ride up to the mouse store and buy himself.
Like, can I buy a mouse? And then they're like, here you go, and then it eats it. Yeah, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, there's a complicated relationship between mice and snake populations. And
yes. So anyway, ball python... It's a fun thing. All right, so now that we've talked about fun animal stories, I mean, we can get into some Reddit questions. Is there any things happening to you in your life that you want to get off your chest right now?
Not really.
We can do, like, the cool personal minute of this
podcast. If you have stuff that you would like to talk about, I would be happy to talk about it, but...
Nothing's really going on. I'm still trying to, like, do the green light thing.
Oh, yeah. If anybody's listening, they should check out A Quick Death on Steam.
Thank you for promoting it for me, because I'm too... Can't do that.
I can, though. It's not against the rules if I do it.
It's not, like, these rules, these made up. Like, it feels tacky and wrong for me to do it. But, like, you, it's fine. I don't know.
It's weird. No, it's seriously a really fun game. You should check it out.
Thank you.
I was thinking about how to kind of get your game more popular and how to get more people to like it. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know. And you have no idea. No.
No. I had some ideas. Like, I think people that want to go into purchasing it should look at it as kind of purchasing just like a little art piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a little art game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Like, all the actual graphics are original artwork. Created by an artist.
Yes, that's true.
The game mechanics are sort of... It's all stuff you thought of yourself. Like, this isn't like
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's like... This isn't a game that someone read, you know, an FPS tutorial online for Unity. Mm-hmm. And they copied the tutorial and then just made it, like, for example, Blood and Bacon.
Which is a great game.
But...
Like, I see what you mean. Like, it's an original
Unity tutorial, the game.
Like, it's an original kind of thing.
Yeah, this is an original thought. It has original art in it. And yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it cool.
Thank you for that. Yeah, it's hard to sell it. Sell the concept, but I don't know. I'm bringing it to, like, a multiplayer thing next week, so we'll see how that happens.
Yeah, that's
a
good idea.
If anyone's listening and they want to check it out, that'd be awesome. But I'm still struggling, and I will update you every week. Really quickly on how terrible it is doing on Steam Greenlight.
Sounds good.
It's a fun thing to be sad about and talk about. Okay, so Reddit. I have 5 really bad questions and 1 decent one, and I think you have, like, an equal number. So who wants to start? We should play Rock, Paper, Scissors over Skype to decide.
Okay, I'll say Rock, Paper, Scissors, then after Scissors, you'll say your choice.
Okay, that sounds good. Ready?
Okay. Rock, Paper, Scissors. Scissors.
Rock. Oh,
so you win.
All right, so I'll start out. I will start with a really
weird... That was pretty good.
What, the rock, paper, scissors thing?
Yeah, I've never done that before.
Well, we'll do that from now on. How would your life change if 1 in every 10,000 eggs would explode when cracked, blowing egg white, yolk, and shell fragments throughout a 2 to 3 meter blast radius.
That's a big blast radius.
It's a very specific question, too.
Those eggs are bursting with some force.
I see. Yes, they are. I will answer that my life wouldn't change because I don't think I've cracked 10,000 eggs before.
Let's do some math real quick.
Are we going to do the math of the egg cracking?
Yeah, let's do some math real quick.
I'm ready. So, see, this is why I like this show, because we can divert into
the acceleration of gravity math. Is 9.8 meters per second. Let's make that an even 10.
Okay.
A person stands, what, about 3 meters off the ground?
Yes.
So what would the speed of, like, the eggs need to reach a 3-foot radius.
I see what you're saying, yes.
Before they reach the ground.
So 10 meters per second is gravity.
So they have about a third of a second to reach.
Before they hit the ground.
Yeah, to reach 3 meters.
So that means a third of a second to reach 3 meters, so they're traveling, what, 3 meters per second? No. Is that right?
A third of a second to reach 3 meters.
I'm bad at math.
1 meter per second, right?
1 meter per second? Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty fast, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's convert that.
It's really fast.
1 meter per second to MPH for us Americans. So that's about 2.5 miles per hour. That's actually not that fast.
No. They would have to go faster because if they're reaching 3 meters in 1/3 of a second,
right.
They would have to be going...
Nine
meters per second. Yeah.
Oh, I did the math wrong.
Yeah.
Let's check that out in miles per hour. That's 20 miles an hour. Damn.
Wow, okay. That's some
that
fast
egg's really
eggs.
Bursting.
That egg is moving. What would cause an egg to do that? Maybe every 10,000 eggs has a baby chick inside of it that, like, is really strong.
That for some reason got fertilized by a miracle or something.
Bursts out.
It's an immaculate conception egg.
But eggs aren't well, I guess they are. I don't know. It's an immaculate conception egg. Yeah, but I don't think I've cracked 10,000 eggs, so I don't think my life would be affected. Would your life be affected?
No, I definitely haven't cracked 10,000 eggs.
I think restaurants would.
Yeah.
Stuff would happen at restaurants.
Like breakfast diners?
Yeah, like McDonald's. Oh, mate, they don't really use real eggs, do they?
I think they do. But no, like a breakfast diner.
Like a Denny's.
Denny's, yeah.
I like a
Denny's, there would have to be safety equipment to deal with this. Rare, but...
Every 10,000. Like, they would have a protocol in place.
Yeah, like the fry cooks have to wear a blast shield over their face.
Well, I don't think... Oh, you're right. Actually, the shell fragments could be dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're traveling 20 miles per hour, right?
Yeah, if that hits your eye, it's...
Like, that's good night.
It's gonna suck.
Yeah, that's, that's good night. That's blackout speed right there. Dude, they'd probably have to wear, like, eye shields, too. Like, those chemistry things, the goggles.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that... You know that helmet that Luke wears in A New Hope when he's practicing against... Yeah, it's pretty much that. Yeah.
So they need to wear that. Yeah. And then they'll probably have to have, like, an alarm that goes off when it happens, because it kind of creates, like, a biohazard situation.
Oh, there's... Okay. This is really funny. Do you know those... in construction jobs, they have that sign on the wall that says, this many days since the last?
Yes.
And then it says, like, OSHA on it.
They have one of those, like, with the dry erase thing.
X days, like, accident-free, but instead it's this many days since an egg explosion.
No, it says this many eggs since last accident.
Okay, I like that better.
And then, but then they would have to tally that many eggs. Every time they crack an egg, they would have to add.
There's a pressure plate that you have to crack the egg on, and it automatically registers it.
That seems like, why would Denny's create this technology just to monitor this? Maybe it's OSHA that's, like, a mandate.
Yeah, it's mandatory. It's a government regulation.
So this board, like, updates every...
The egg union.
The OSHA. The OSHA egg crackers union.
Yes.
The OSHA egg union. Yeah, and they have, like, this board on all the Denny's or whatever.
Yeah, mandates that you must.
And anytime you crack an egg with the yolk down, it, like, automatically, like... Beak to the board, and it says, like, 10,000 eggs until since the last accident or whatever. And the higher the number, the better, obviously.
Yeah.
And then when it explodes, there's like a pressure plate like on the wall or something, and it like reads. Oh, you know those things like the Mythbusters use? Like, you've seen the Mythbusters, right?
Yeah, of course.
Whenever they do like an, whenever they have an explosion, they have these like pressure things that like pop when the pressure gets really high.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you could set those up, and so like whenever one of those pops, then you know you had an egg accident.
Yep.
Because the pressure has left the egg. This is getting really complicated, but it's cool. But yeah, they would have like a, yeah, one of the boards, and then when the pressure thing pops because an egg exploded, they would have to have like an alarm or something. Like,
yeah.
Woo, woo, to like let everyone know, like, all right, go into decontamination mode. I don't know why, but I imagine these eggs are like bad, like they're spoiled, so they're like, they need to clean it up, you know what I mean?
I mean, you can't leave egg lying around. That's no. It could contaminate other foods.
Yeah, you don't want egg on your face either.
Yeah, there. I mean, there are going to be people with egg allergies eating.
Yeah,
at the restaurant.
Like they
you can't have that
they
stuff.
They can't. I don't think OSHA or like the Department of Food and Health would allow that.
No,
you know, you got to clean that up. So they'd all have all these protocols in place. They would need. We'd need.
After it happens, union. The manager needs to walk into the lobby and say, "Guys, your orders are going to be a few minutes. We just had an egg incident."
And then everyone would be like, all right, I understand. And they would, like, tip really well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I hate how they have to deal with this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's just unfair. Why does Denny's have to deal with all this and nobody else does? And it's because Denny's chooses to serve breakfast.
Yes. You know?
And Denny's does it every day. They serve 24/7.
You know? Oh, yeah.
They serve it all day. So they have to deal with this constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, props to you, Denny's, for dealing with these egg incidents on an almost daily basis. How many eggs do you think Denny's cracks every day?
I think it depends on the Denny's.
I'm going to guess. I'm going to lowball it here. I'm going to say 100 eggs per Denny's.
It's like 3 eggs per meal. That's only like 30 customers, sort of. 33 customers.
Yeah, but you can't imagine that everyone's ordering. Well, I guess you could. All right, let's say 100 to 500 eggs are cracked in a single Denny's every day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
This is like the math episode.
Yeah.
So, like, you figure, like, every, like, what, 20, 30 days, every month you're going to have an egg incident, really.
Yeah, at least.
You know?
And I'm sure there are certain Denny's, too, that crack 1,000 eggs every day.
Oh, yeah, like really popular ones, like in New York. I don't know.
Yeah.
I said that. The New York Denny's.
Known really for their eggs.
New York is known for their Denny's.
When I'm in New York, I eat at Denny's.
They're really good Denny's over there in New York. And they're on top of the egg cracking.
That's something
game.
New York does, though. Like, they say that about everything. Like, New York pizza, it's not different from regular pizza. It's the same thing. There's no such thing as New York-style pizza.
That would be great if you went to Denny's and you, like, asked, like, one of your friends from New York. Or, sorry, you went to New York and you asked one of your friends from New York, like, what should I do? I'm here. It's like, have you ever been to a New York Denny's? And you're like, no. And they're like, well, you're missing out on something. Like, the way they crack their eggs over there, ugh, sublime.
Oh, they do that with everything, too, though, and it makes me mad. Like, I hope we have some people that listen to this show that are from New York that are just fuming with me right now.
They're probably
now.
Really mad at you. I think New York pizza is better, but I do agree that they do that with pretty much everything on the planet.
Pizza, chopped cheese, Italian food.
What's chopped cheese?
It's like ground beef and cheese in a...
I've never heard of that before.
Semi-sandwich thing.
That sounds kind of weird.
It's really good.
Anyway, the New York Denny's out of this world. They're probably cracking 10,000 eggs a day because people love their Denny's over there in New York. It's a state institution up there in New York. So anyway, my life would not change, but as we've indicated, Denny's would be like a very different place.
Yeah.
You know, they would have... Maybe for the best, you know, maybe they'd really get their act together and they'd run a really tight ship.
Yeah, sanitation might actually be better if this is something that happened a lot.
Do you think they would reduce their egg items on the menu?
No. People love... Eggs are good.
I mean, I want moons over my hammy, you know? Like, that's important.
Yeah, the moons are an important piece of moons over my hammy.
It is. And the Denver scramble and all that
Lumberjack
stuff.
Lumberjack slam.
Yeah. That's a real thing, too. Okay. I have another one. This is really funny that we're segueing into this one. What smell automatically transports you back to your youth? I have one if you don't.
All right, let's hear yours.
Mine is the smell of, like, new paper. Like, specifically new cardboard paper. And the reason for that is, when I was younger, I played a lot of Magic the Gathering, and when you'd open the packs, you'd get the, like, smell.
The new pack smell. That's something that does... The new pack smell. That is a thing.
Yeah, and that smell is also a smell you get whenever you smell, like, new paper, like, freshly, you know, made paper or whatever.
New books.
And new books. And that automatically brings me back to Magic. It's funny, we were just talking about the Lumberjack Slam, because that was our Magic card set that we made up in, like, episode 2 of this show, if you remember. Anyway, I love the smell of new paper. I don't know why. Yeah, it always, like...
I don't think I have a smell that transports me back to childhood. There are certain food items that my parents used to cook a lot, but not... Not non-food smells.
Yeah. All right, well, you have any questions? I have 3 more. I can keep going. But you sound like you had a couple good ones.
Okay.
Okay.
Which Pokemon would be the best to eat?
It's funny. I have another Pokemon-related question, but we'll get to that.
We can segue with that.
We'll go right to that one afterwards. The best Pokemon to eat?
Yep.
I like how you said eat, like, eat. Can we just do 100, like, original 150?
Oh, I don't know any of the new ones. It's going to be an original.
I'm not super good at the new generation. Yeah. Like, I know Gen 1, some of 2, and... So we'll go with just original. I'm going to go... My gut wants me to say Magikarp. Because it's like a fish.
It looks like a real thing that you can actually eat
like
in real life.
Like, it's a fish. Like, I could see someone cooking that and not eating it. You know what I mean?
They're sort of stupid, so there might not be tight, like, ethical...
Right, it's like a chicken, you know? Like, it doesn't know any better. Like, it's just a stupid
thing. It just flops around and goes, carp, 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 carp.
Yep, exactly. The other Pokemon, like, have a level of intelligence that I'm just not comfortable cooking and eating them. You know?
What about Exeggutor? I mean, he's pretty much... He would taste bad, because it's like a rotten egg.
Which is the one with legs? Like, one of them has legs.
I think that might be the evolved one.
No, that's Exeggutor. Exeggutor's the one with legs. You don't want that one. You don't want the egg one. The leg one. Because then, like, he has, like, weird reptilian legs. You know? And he has, like... Have you seen Exeggutor? Like, Google that. Like, you'll see he has, like, weird reptilian legs... And, like, an eggs for a head, and then...
Oh, like, he's like a palm tree.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't want to eat that guy.
What is the one I'm thinking
Execute
of?
Is the one you're thinking of.
Execute. Yeah.
Which is basically just a big pile of eggs. Like, that's all it is. A bunch of eggs. Like, who designed Execute?
They needed 150, and they're some like, guy well, was what eating
do we got?
Eggs.
I'm like, what do we mean, egg Pokemon? And they're like, all right, I'm listening. What do you got for me? And he's like, all right, 5 eggs. There
it is. 5 sentient eggs.
And one of them is cracked. And they're like, oh, we got it. That's the perfect Pokemon.
No, they're like, put it in, we'll replace it with something later.
Yeah, like, we'll put some temp art in for that, we'll name it that, and we'll just figure something out better later. And
yeah, it got to be the deadline, and they're like, screw it, we're going with
eggs.
And
they're like,
all
right, what Pokemons can we not cut that still makes sense kind of in concept? And they're like, well, I guess Exeggutor kind of works. And they're like, okay, we'll go, we'll run with Exeggutor, or Execute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know if I would eat Execute because one of those eggs is cracked. And I'm looking at a picture right now, and half of the eggs are, like, have noticeable fractures in their shells, you know? So, like, these seem like spoiled eggs.
Yeah, that would probably be gross. I think Magikarp is the best answer.
Yeah. Ooh, what if you made, like, a nice Magikarp Execute... Like flambé, kind of.
That sounds gross. Eggs right. And fish, yeah.
Like you you slice up Magikarp, and you fillet it, mm-hmm. and then you crack the executes into a nice bowl.
Oh, you use it like a fry batter.
You batter up Magikarp. You put some breadcrumbs on there, and then you like, you know, saute him in like a nice like brandy sauce or something, you know.
Then you get your Charizard to heat your oil.
Oh, and then he breathes into the thing.
Yes.
And then he's like, argh! And then now you're cooking with Pokemon. And that's the thing.
I like it. Good answer. What's your Pokemon question?
What Pokemon would make the best coworker?
Meowth?
Meowth. And by best, you mean worst coworker then, right?
I mean, he's kind of a good sidekick.
I guess.
Like, he's that coworker that doesn't do anything.
No, that's what I mean. Like, Meowth is like, okay, pros for Meowth. He can talk, so, I mean, he's got the advantage on every other Pokemon there.
Yeah.
So he could actually, like, communicate with you. Cons would be like, he's Meowth. Like, he's really lazy, and all he thinks about is, like, money. So, like, I feel like everyone has, like, a Meowth coworker.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, that one guy that just, like, doesn't do anything. But he's, like, integral to the company for some reason.
Yeah, he talks to everybody for a long time.
Talks to everyone. But like, he's really good at talking. Like, he's got the gift of gab. But when it comes to doing, he's just got nothing. You know what I mean?
Yes, he'd rather Meowth, that's right.
Right. He'd rather get paid and get out.
Yeah.
Meowth? I mean, that could be an okay answer. I feel like Meowth would be fun comic relief.
Yeah, I mean, who else could you actually do work with, though? The rest would just say their names at you, like... Pika Pika!
Like, Pikachu! And you're like, thanks, Pikachu, I gotta get back on these spreadsheets. Sorry. It's like, Pika Pika! And you're like, can't right now. What about... what about Mr. Mime? Right?
No.
What? Can you imagine working with a Mr. Mime?
It would be really funny.
It would be really creepy, is what it would be.
I would laugh every single day.
What if you like walk in and you're like, hey Fred, and then you turn
and Mr. Mime is there on the computer and you're like, hey Mr. Mime. And he just looks at you with his face.
With his dead eyes.
Yes.
And his mime hands, or whatever. And he's like, he nods, and he gets back to... Does Mr. Mime have a phrase? Does he say, like, Mr. Mime, or anything like that?
I don't think he talks, because he's a mime.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't talk. You're right. So he would just be silent. He's like the opposite of Meowth, because, like, Meowth would bother you. Like, you're doing something, and you're like, oh, I really got to get this done before I go home. And then Meowth comes over, and he's like, Meowth, what are you doing? Like, you want to go out for drinks later tonight or whatever? And you're like, no, Meowth, I have to finish this work. Mr. Mime would just be like a soldier. He would just get his work done and go home. Doesn't talk to anyone.
You'd be like, hey, Mr. Mime, how you doing? He looks over to you, and he's doing, like, the mime thing with his hands. Smiling really big.
And he just nods, and then he goes back to work. You know what you could do with Mr. Mime? You could set him up to mime another coworker.
Kind of like as a prank?
No, to, like, double your work output.
But he would just do the same thing twice.
Right, but, like, if you needed double of something, you could just, you know... You could have a mime it, and then you get... You're not following this analogy, are you?
What about Alakazam? He can persuade people, right? He's like a Jedi, sort of.
He's a magician, though.
Yeah.
I like how we're, like, doing the low-tier, like, performers for coworkers, like mime and magician. Like, those are the ones we want. Alakazam, is that the one with the mustache?
I think they all have them. It's Abracadabra and Alakazam. Alakazam.
Alakazam's the one with the really big mustache.
The most advanced one.
Most advanced mustache. Alakazam. Yeah, I could.
If you were a magician, maybe.
I can go for Alakazam. He could, like, create things.
If you were a construction worker, you could get Machamp.
Oh, that's a good call.
Because he's really muscular.
Yeah, Machamp would be good at construction. He doesn't talk either. He just says Machamp. But he would be able to, like, move heavy things.
Yeah, he can do labor.
Yeah, you do whatever you want. I think he might be too obsessed with his, like, looks.
But that's fine, though. He can still... His job is lifting heavy
things. Get back to work, Machamp. And he's, like, posing or whatever. Yeah. He's like, Machamp. You're like, Machamp, come over here. We need you on this. You need to carry the beam. And he's like, Machamp. Or whatever. You know. So Meowth is, like, the office clown, you know. You got Alakazam, which, like... Does kind of entertainment, you know, lightens the mood with magic.
Yeah.
You got Mr. Mime is just like the soldier coworker, and then Machamp is like the brute force, like when you need a blunt instrument.
It's like, hey, we need you to change the water on the water cooler, Machamp.
Have you noticed we've picked a bunch of carnival people for all the Pokemon?
Yes.
We've got the clown, we have the strong man, the magician, and the mime.
Strong man. And we have the jester.
Yep, like, it's perfect. Way to go. We did it.
That's awesome.
Okay. What is the worst sound to wake up to?
Glass.
Glass breaking?
Yeah.
Probably. I was going to do a really annoying sound for you, but I think our listeners wouldn't appreciate that. But you just imagine a really high-pitched, like, squealing sound, then... That would be the worst. Oh, what?
I have a good one. I have a good one.
Okay, what do you got?
What? It's the sound is, hey, how you doing? Like, you wake up to a man saying that.
He just says that?
There's a man in your house, and he's like, hey.
But you have no idea where it's coming from.
You have no idea who.
Like, you wake up, and you're like, who's that? And then, like, silence.
Yes.
Right? And then you're like, oh, I missed my imagination. And then you, like, go to the shower.
And there's a man in there.
No, he's not in there. This is better. You start taking a shower. And then as you turn the water on, you hear it again.
Oh.
But this time it's, like, it seems like it's further away because you're in the shower. But you, like, so you have to, like, get out of the shower real quick because you're like, oh, what was happening? Because there's a man in your house. And he only ever says it when you're, like, in a place that's, like, inconvenient. Or, like, yeah. Where you can't. See him, you know. Yeah. Man living in your house. That'd be freaky. That'd be like a good horror movie. Like, it's like a Telltale Heart kind of deal. Like, you know, like when you're alone, you hear, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
And they're like, what was that? And then they doesn't say anything for a while until you've forgotten he was there. And then he does it again. And you're like, ah! And it like drives you crazy and you kill yourself.
I would move away.
That's a good story. He would follow you because he's a poltergeist. Or no, wait. Yeah, is that how that works? Poltergeists follow you?
This segues into a question / thing I wanted to talk about pretty well.
All right, go.
Okay, the question that I saw on Reddit was, what movie ending pissed you off the most?
Okay.
And my answer is the ending to Sinister. It's a sort of semi-recent horror movie.
Yes, 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 I've seen that.
The first half of the movie is so good.
That's the one where it's like Ethan Hawke and he's researching this house that he just moved into for like a book.
Yes.
And like the family like killed themselves or something like that, right?
Yeah, he's a horror author and he moves around from town to town and investigates true crime and murders and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Tries to pick up on things that the police miss. So he moves his family into the house that three people were mysteriously killed at.
Mm-hmm.
And his family doesn't know that...
Spoiler alert, anyone that's listening.
But yeah, big spoilers. Doesn't know that this happened at this house, but they know that their dad is kind of like a serious true crime author, and they would rather just keep that separate from their lives.
Right.
So anyway, he goes on investigating, and about halfway through, it's revealed that there are actually just demons in the house.
Yes!
I think it would have been so much cooler if it was more based in realism.
Because
the first half of the movie, you don't know... kind of what's going on. It's this cool mystery
thing. Like horror thing.
Yeah, where he's trying to discover the origins of this crime.
I feel like when most horror movies, like, reveal their big thing, they get worse.
Yeah.
This is like, oh, that's great. It's a demon or whatever. And you're like, well, great. You know?
Yeah.
So what would you have preferred? Like, if there was actually some creepy people living in their house or something?
They could have made it so that it was more ambiguous.
Mm,
like, it could have been, like... It's the most logical explanation is that it was a murder, but there are some things that don't quite add up, and it's kind of left open to interpretation. I would have preferred something like that, but this, they really just go full on supernatural. Like, you get the classic, scary, weird-looking kids.
And then, like, the demon is, like, really creepy-looking, too, right?
Yeah, he looks like a member of, a metal band.
He sounds like a Slipknot member.
Yeah, he looks like a man from Slipknot.
I feel like that's like horror movies, like recent horror movies in a nutshell. It's like, well, what do we want our villain to look like? It's like, well, have you ever heard Slipknot? Well, we'll check them out and pick one and go with that one. Oh, yeah, he does.
I hate it when they use kids as scary things in horror movies, because kids just aren't scary to me in any form.
It's so overdone, too.
Yeah. There's nothing.
They did The Shining, and then like every other horror movie in the world started doing it.
Yeah, the only movies where that works are Rosemary's Baby and The Shining.
Yeah. Well, those were like one of the first ones that did it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, have you seen Split yet?
No. What's that?
Oh, you need to see Split. It's M. Night Shyamalan's new movie.
Oh. I read about this.
It's really good. It's actually, like, he actually made a good movie for, like, the first time in...
It's been a while since Unbreakable, I think.
Yeah. So, yeah. Check out Split. I don't want to spoil it, but it's good. It's real good. It's about a guy with, like, a bunch of personalities that kidnaps girls. And you'll see. It's cool.
Sounds like Unbreakable.
Why does it sound like that? It has nothing to do with that.
I mean, that's sort of a plot line in Unbreakable.
Men and girls. I mean, it's more supernatural. Well, I guess Unbreakable is kind of supernatural, too. It's not really supernatural. I guess it's psychological horror, you know, because he has, like, 20 personalities or whatever.
Yeah.
They're, like, each go in and out. And, like, some of them are nice and some of them are, like, evil. You know what I mean?
This sounds suspiciously like our fantasy M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It kind of is. Now that you say that, I didn't know about this movie at the time we were talking about that. But yeah, it is kind of like that. So maybe M. Night was listening and he is like, got it. Got my next one.
Great, I gotta see it and we gotta talk about it and compare it.
There's another prediction. I forgot that we were tracking the predictions our podcast is making.
Yeah.
We've predicted M. Night Shyamalan making a weird psychological horror movie about multiple personalities in one person.
Yeah, if there's anyone listening now by chance who hasn't heard that episode of our show, we speculated about M. Night Shyamalan making a psychological horror movie with a guy with a bunch of different personalities and the twist at the end end. I won't reveal it.
The twist at the end was that they're all the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that person was his psychiatrist.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so Split is like the inverse of that. Like, you know that they're all one person in the beginning, you know what I mean?
That's our idea.
No, in ours, it was like everyone was separate, and then at the end you realize, oh, these are all just one person. Oh,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is exactly. Now that you say it, it's like, oh, that is what we were saying. That's really funny. Maybe one of us, like, read about the movie, and that's how we... I don't know. Whatever. All right. Do you want to get into... Do we have any more questions, or do you want to get into trivia?
Let's do trivia and one more question.
Afterwards?
Yeah.
Okay. Today is my turn to ask you trivia questions.
Got it. Excited?
So, your options today are... Hold on, let me just check the time. Your options today, or your lifelines, not lifelines, sorry. Let me start over. Your categories today are Australia, video games, and bird.
Okay.
Which I'm trying to do, but I like those categories. Your lifelines you have are 5-second Google, 10-second Bing, 30-second Yahoo, 50-50, Monty Hallett, Phone a Friend, Ask a Rando, and Rhyme Time. What would you like?
I'm going to choose 30-second Yahoo, Monty Hall, and Rhyme Time.
All right.
I don't want to
cheater. You don't want to ask a rando today? Yeah,
that hasn't been working out for us.
It's so good. So the score is 10-10.
Okay.
Because you got all of them. I think I got all of them last time. I don't remember. We tied up.
We're all tied up.
Who cares how? 10-10. So this is for the lead, basically. All right. Australia. Are you ready for your first category?
I'm ready.
Do you have a particular order you want to do them? Or
I'm good with starting with Australia.
All right. Australia. Approximately how many rabbits are there in Australia today? Is it A, 3 million, B, 30 million, C, 300 million, or D, 3,000 million, which is actually 3 billion.
Oh, that's a lot of rabbits.
It is a lot of rabbits. I don't know why I wrote 3 billion as 3,000 million, but there you have it.
All right, I'm going to Monty Hall it.
You're going to Monty Hall it? All right, which one do you want to lock in?
What was the first answer?
3 million, 30 million, 300 million, or 3 billion?
3 million, 30, 300, and 3 billion.
Yep.
I'm going to lock in 3 billion.
All right, so I'm going to eliminate two that aren't 3 billion.
Okay.
So the answer is not 3 million, and the answer is not 30 million. So it's between 300 million and 3 billion rabbits.
That's a big difference.
That is a big difference.
I'm going to go.
A lot of rabbits either way, right?
Yeah. I'm going to go with 300 million.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Way to deduce. I like how you did that. You went for like the most ridiculous one first. Yeah,
I didn't think there were 3 billion. I mean,
yeah,
there can be.
That was a smart way to do it, though, yeah. Ryan. That was smart. There can be 300 million, but 3 billion rabbits, that's...
I was also worried, too, that rabbits might be pretty rare in Australia, and there might only be 3 million. I actually wasn't sure how popular rabbits are there, because there is a desert. I don't know if bunnies live in the desert. Or
I don't know. I'm not a...
A lot of Australia is a desert.
I'm not a rabbitologist. But, you know, rabbits, they do multiply like rabbits, so...
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Video games is your next category.
Let's go for it.
In Japan, Pac-Man was originally known as A, Duckman, B, Puckman, C, Luckman, or D, Suckman.
I'm going to go with A, Duckman.
You're going to go with A, Duckman?
Yes.
You don't want to hear him again? You're just going all in right now?
I'm going all in on Duckman. Final answer.
Duckman is incorrect.
Damn it.
Why did you pick Duckman?
I thought I had heard that somewhere before.
The correct answer was Puckman.
Was he really?
Yeah, because he's shaped like a puck, a hockey puck.
That was too obvious to be true.
You were like, no.
I was like, it's no, Duckman. It's Japan. It's got to be Duck.
It's got to be Duckman because Pac-Man looks just like a duck. I was hoping you'd pick Suckman because he sucks up pellets.
Or because he sucks.
Hey, Pac-Man is great.
I like Pac-Man.
You just said he sucks.
No, he doesn't suck. Pac-Man's a character, too, that his 3D games are actually sort of...
Bad.
They're okay. The one on PlayStation was okay.
I guess. Pac-Man is like Sonic, right? He used to be really cool, and now he's like, eh, but everyone still knows who he is.
Yeah.
He hasn't reached the lows of Sonic yet, but, you know. He's getting there.
I like Sonic.
Oh, I know. I feel like we have this conversation every episode of you liking Sonic no matter what.
I like the modern design decisions behind Sonic.
Do you? Do you really?
I like
the... Do you really?
I like the music.
Do you?
I like.
Do you?
I wouldn't have it any other way.
Do you? Do you really like Sonic, though? You like the idea of Sonic.
Yes.
Right? You played Sonic Adventure 2 when you were like 12, and you're like, this is great. And ever since then, you're like, that's Sonic. That's what Sonic can be. And after they've made all these other Sonic games, you've been able to
I didn't
to be
play
like,
them, but...
And you've been able to be like, well, those are good. Those are okay, but Sonic is still good because we still had all the Sonics on the Genesis and we had Sonic Adventure. So, I feel like you're just living in the past.
Probably.
That's fine. I know you like Sonic. Have you played any of the recent Sonic games? They're not good.
No.
They are not good. The problem with Sonic is, like, every time they're trying to, like, reinvent Sonic, but they're trying to make him, like, stay the same at the same time. So it's like, we're going to have a 3D Sonic that's just like the old Sonics for Sega Genesis or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, like, you can't make that game in 3D, like, just one-to-one, like, oh, just have a running course, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, like, it just doesn't work, you know? And, like, Mario works in 3D because it's, like, slower paced. But Sonic, you're just, like, moving all the time. And you're, like, the camera's, like, whoo, and it doesn't make any sense. So, I don't know. I feel like Sonic Adventure was good because it's, like, okay, you have the running courses. But then they knew you can't just have all those because that would just get really tiring really
fast. Sonic Adventure, the Sonic and Shadow levels were almost like a racing game.
Yeah.
Like, you can... It had the same camera as a racing game would. You're behind Sonic moving forward through a racetrack.
Right. But then the other levels were like platforming, collectible kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So like they broke it up because they knew they couldn't just have it all racing, run. Anyway, so Sonic. One day maybe they'll make a Sonic game that will be good again. But I'm not holding my breath.
Yeah, neither am I.
All right, next category. Bird. What is the world's smallest bird? Is it A, the bee hummingbird, B, the red-cheeked cordon bleu, C, the lesser goldfinch, or D, the spotted pardalote?
I'm going to have to go to my 30-second Yahoo for that one. Right, but before I do, I'm going to say that I think it's the bee hummingbee.
The bee hummingbee?
Yes, the bee hummingbee. No, the bee hummingbird.
The bee hummingbee. All right, sounds good.
All right, tell me when to start.
I have to finagle Windows timer to work because it never works properly. What the hell, Windows timer? Every time I use this app, it's like the worst. You have to like hit the edit button and like so bad.
See, I love Windows 7 because you can just click on the time and it shows an actual...
You can't put the time in with the numpad. You have to click on a thing and there's like a drop-down box. And it's like, how much time do you want to set the timer for? That's how good it is.
They chose a drop-down box in Visual Studio. And then you have to click
save. Like, who comes up with this? Oh, I made 10 minutes, not 10 seconds. Great. That's fantastic. Oh, sorry. This is taking me longer to do than
the actual timer. Get it together, Microsoft. Do you see this? Okay.
30 seconds. Oh, great. Now I have 8 hours and 30 seconds.
Just press play. You'll just... Just look at the seconds.
I'm ready. All right. 30-second Yahoo. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
I have entered yahoo.com. Okay. I have searched for world's smallest bird. Loading advertisements. Scrolling down past the 14 suggested... Seconds. Okay, it's the bee hummingbird. A, final answer.
Final answer?
Yes.
Bee hummingbird is correct. Nice. Good job. You did it. You have all those right. The score is now 13 to 10.
No, I got Puckman wrong.
Oh, you did get Puckman wrong.
It's 12 to 10. You can surpass me next week.
Yes. Man, I just have to talk about how terrible the Microsoft timer is. Like, it's so bad. Like, it's insanely bad. Like, it opens this window, and then you have to click on, like, timer, right? Mm-hmm. And then you click on the timer, and you'd think it would, like, open a thing, like, to let you edit it with, like, the keypad or something, you know? Yes. Like a cursor. But no, it opens a separate window that's, like, basically 3 drop-down boxes for hours, minutes, and seconds. And then you have to, like, scroll through the box to find the exact number you want. Like, who? What? How? And then you have to click save. And then you goes back to the timer app, and then you have to hit play to start the timer. Like, who designed this?
That's like 10 clicks to
it's
do
like
the most
10
simple.
Steps to do a timer, where it should be like one click to open it, type it in, and then one click to
play
you
it.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
To play it. Like, who designed that app?
Microsoft.
If you know who designed that, let me know.
And the I same want them people as Microsoft Edge, probably.
I want them on the show. I want them to explain why... They did it the way they did it. Okay, so we have trivia done. Do you want to end with any questions? Do you have a question to end the show?
Let's end with this question.
I'm ready for this question.
If you could choose 5 real-life people to go through the Wonka factory, who would you choose?
What? So am I... are these people going to die?
No. All right, let's pretend
well, yes,
it's...
yes, they would, right?
It's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. No one dies.
But they get, like, sucked into machines
but
and
they
shit,
don't die.
Like...
They just get turned into candy or something.
Well, so I wouldn't want anyone... Oh, they turn into candy. Great.
No. So... They don't die. it's revealed at the end that they're all okay, but bad things might happen to them.
So I wouldn't want to pick people I like because I don't want them to experience this traumatizing Wonka circumstance, right?
Let's pick celebrities.
Okay. Who would I think would be entertaining to go through the
Wonka
factory?
Let's switch off, and you can start.
Johnny Depp.
Let's pretend they're going to film it like reality TV style.
Okay, Johnny Depp.
All right, Johnny Depp.
Because he is Willy Wonka. But he's not Willy Wonka. He's like one of the kids.
Yes.
Yeah, oh, but Willy Wonka is still played by Johnny Depp?
No, we're Willy Wonka in this situation. Because we get to decide who goes.
Are we both Willy Wonka?
Yes.
How about I'm Willy and you're Wonka?
That's a good twist on the character.
We're twins. And we both have like one big hat that we share. Right? It's like a split top hat.
Yes.
Right? And like I wear one side and you wear the other. And we both have like bad legs, but I have a bad right leg and you have a bad left leg. And we like hug the whole time.
We wear three-legged pants. Like my right leg and your left leg are in the same pant leg.
Yes. So like our bad legs are like where our legs are joined or something.
Yes.
I don't know. And we have two canes. Like, you hold one in your left hand.
Yes.
And I hold one on my right. And we're like, hello, I'm... And then how we introduce ourselves is I say, hello, we're... And I say Willy, and you say...
Wonka.
You see?
Yes. Welcome to our factory. We're trying to choose an heir.
Our candy factory. Oh, and like, we speak in sentences, like, one word at a time. Like, I say one, and then you say another yes. word. I sound like hello.
Our
factory
is
really
dangerous.
So
please
don't
touch
your
penis. I don't know.
That's good advice right there. I mean, I think.
Keep in mind, one of these people has to become the heir to the Wonka factory.
I don't think anyone would want to become the heir after that speech that we just gave.
All right. So Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp is mine. And he would be... Can we say who they are?
Like, yeah, sure.
Like, he's Augustus Gloop.
I don't actually know their names. I think I have an idea who
they're like
that kid
caricatures.
Is.
He's he's the candy loving one. He eats a lot of candy.
I'll choose Mads Mikkelsen. Okay. And he is not Willy. Who's the kid, the protagonist?
Charlie.
He's Charlie.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah. But he's like kind of like anti-hero Charlie.
Yeah, he's dark anti-hero Charlie.
He's glad to be there, but at the same time, he's like, this is wrong on many levels.
It fits really well, too, because Charlie has a really dark private family life.
He does, like, his family is in ruins.
They're all bedridden. They eat, cabbage water for dinner.
Can we talk about how bedridden, how does the bedridden thing work? Like, was that just, a thing that Roald Dahl invented? Like, oh, the grandma and grandpa, they're bedridden. They haven't got out of bed in 20 years. Like,
that's terrible.
That's not how real life works. Like, no one, I don't know. Anyway, moving on. So Mads Mikkelsen is Charlie.
Yes.
And he's like, oh, can you do a Mads Mikkelsen impression?
No. If I do, it'll just...
So mine's going to be tough. He'd be like, oh, because he's from, Scandinavia, right? So
yes.
He's like, Willie, I don't like that. This is... He has, a gruff voice. This is wrong on many levels. I'm trying to do, the...
This is wrong on many levels. He pauses.
I'm drawing from, a Hannibal. Yes. Anyway. All right. So, Mads is Charlie. I need someone for the bratty girl.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a good female celebrity for that. Who's good? Give me a good suggestion.
Sarah Silverman.
Oh, no, I got it. God, what is her name? She was in that Legally Blonde movie. What the hell is
Reese
her
Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon, yes.
That's perfect, yeah.
She's the bratty girl. She hasn't been in a movie in like a really long time, but she's in this Willy Wonka remake with us. And she's like really bratty, but she's like Southern. She's like Reese Witherspoon from like that one movie that they made about A Sweet Home Alabama. She's like that version of Reese
Witherspoon. Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, hey, y'all, I love being rich or whatever. I don't know.
No, she wasn't the country. She was like the city girl that moved from the country.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's like really rich.
But she brings her parents because that's what everybody does. And her parents are like... are the country people.
Yeah. Like, hey, oh, yeah. There y'all. Yeah, yeah. And she's like bratty.
Yeah.
And she's like really rich somehow. Anyway, so Reese Witherspoon. All right, your turn.
Who's the next person?
You got Mike TV, and then you got the girl that turns into a purple thing.
The girl that... I'll choose the
gum,
girl that...
The girl that that chews a lot of gum and turns into Violet Beauregard, I think is her name. Yeah. Violet Beauregard.
How about... I don't think I can choose a character for her. Who's the last remaining one?
Mike TV.
Mike TV. What's Mike the personality the of his?
He eats. He watches a lot of TV.
Okay, John C. Reilly.
That's Mike TV.
Yes.
And he's like, he says like random phrases and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and he's really like energetic about everything.
Yeah,
like, and he's
dressed as a cowboy, obviously.
And he does not shut up. Yeah, yeah, he's dressed as a cowboy, and he does not shut up. He's like talking the entire movie, and he's making stupid comments constantly. And then he turns into like a little person, you know, like he gets shrunk right in the movie.
Yes.
And then his mom puts him in his pocket, and then like leaves.
And then he's gone.
John C. Reilly as Mike TV. And then who would be Violet Beauregard? So she's the one that chews a lot of gum. She's kind of bratty too. But she's more like of a know-it-all kind of character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She turns into a giant blueberry.
Oprah Winfrey. The blueberry scene would be really funny with Oprah.
Why?
Seeing Oprah turn into a blueberry would be a sight to behold.
Seeing anyone turn into a blueberry would be a sight to behold. All right, so we have our cast.
Yes.
We have Johnny Depp as, I forgot the first kid's name already. Oh, Augustus Gloop. And he gains, like, a lot of weight for the role.
Yeah. He's, like he below really, Johnny Depp.
He really, like, no, he's worse than that. Like, he's, like, he lets himself go. He, like, goes committed. Like, he's trying to get an Oscar for this role.
Yeah.
Like, he goes all out, like, yeah, on this
full
role.
Method
like,
acting.
He does, like, Christian Bale level of, like, commitment.
Yeah.
To, like, this thing. He's, like, this is going to be my next Oscar, and it'll blow everyone away. And he gets, like, real big. And he eats a lot of candy, like, in real life.
Yeah.
For the role to, like, get into the character, you know? So, anyway, he lets himself really go. I imagine he kind of looks like a combination of Augustus Gloop, which is, like, a big German kid. But then also, like, remember when he played, what the hell is that guy's name from Fear and Loathing?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, but like a really fat version of Hunter S. Thompson.
Yeah, really big like, eyes and paranoid all the time.
Yeah, and he has like, like shades and stuff.
Yeah.
And he has like one of those really big cigarette holder things or whatever.
Yes.
And he's like balding like all over his head.
Wears a Hawaiian shirt and khaki shorts.
It's just an amalgamation of all of Johnny Depp's characters like combined. And then he has like a Jack Sparrow like... Yeah. Like, goatee.
Yes, and he walks like Jack Sparrow.
It's just, like, every character he's ever played.
All in one.
And then he has a Mad Hatter top hat on, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Just every character he's ever played. Just, like, a really fat version of those characters. So that's Johnny Depp as Augustus Gloop, and then Mads as Charlie, like, the innocent. Dark, brooding.
Yeah,
Charlie.
He pretty much is Hannibal from the Hannibal TV show, but he's a good guy version.
But he's a good guy. Yeah,
like,
I got you.
Like, he specializes in exquisite candies or something.
Oh,
even though he's really
nice.
Poor or something,
and he like cooks the candies like in his
home. Yeah,
because
he's
something.
Poor.
Yeah, like he makes the candies himself.
Yes.
And he's like trying to be like a candy shop.
Out of cabbage and water, because that's all his family yes, can afford.
Yes, yes. And he like makes the candy and he's trying to be like a like a chocolatier professionally.
Yes.
So he's really excited. And then
he uses controversial ingredients though.
Yeah. Yeah, so and then Reese, obviously.
Sweet Home Alabama.
As Veruca Salt. And then the Oprah as Violet Beauregard, and then John C. Reilly's Mike Tepe, and then we have a perfect. And then the most important part is you and I, as Willy Wonka. As Willy
and Wonka, as Willy Wonka.
That's Willy Wonka with our hat. I liked that a lot. I think that would be a killer movie.
I'd watch it. I would probably prefer it to the Charlie and Chocolate Factory that they
remade. That was real bad.
It wasn't real good.
Johnny Depp could redeem himself. He needs another role he could really sink his teeth into. One that
isn't Pirates.
And isn't Alice in Wonderland.
That wasn't a good movie either.
I know. He needs a role he can really sink his teeth into.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that has been... I think we're out of time. Yeah, we're about out of time.
Yep.
That has been episode 20 of The Time Bat Show. Happy Groundhog Day, everybody. Any final thoughts you want to say before the end of the show? Go ahead.
No. I tried to think of something and I totally blanked.
When you like Mads,
then do it like Dad.
Exactly. Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Good night.